I will start my sermon this morning by asking a trivia question. In the gospel lesson this morning, two sacraments in our church have their foundation in the gospel lesson this morning. Does anyone know which ones they are? Two sacraments. Everything in our church is scriptural. We don't just make things up as we go. So the foundation of all the sacraments is in Scripture, but two specifically are mentioned or have their foundation in the gospel lesson of today.
Confession.
That's one.
The Holy Spirit.
That's not a sacrament. We all get that. Nope, not chrismation. Ordination. They're actually the same sentence. Jesus says to the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. He is commissioning them to go out and be his representative to the church. That's the foundation of the sacrament of ordination. Ordination is also mentioned in a couple other places in the Bible. In the book of Acts, I believe it's chapter 2 or 3, when they designate 7 people to serve as deacons, and they pray and they lay their hands on them. That is the foundation of the ordination service, but the sacrament itself finds its place, its foundation here in the gospel. And the other sacrament is the sacrament of confession, because Jesus says to the now empowered apostles, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven, and if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And through this sacrament, for those who have done it, you know what it is, we're able to, with God's blessing and his grace bestowed upon his priests, to lift off and loose the sins of people who come to confession. God does that through the presence of the priest. The priest does not do that, but God does that. And God has given a gift to his church so that if you've done awful things in your life, you don't have to carry those awful things around with you. God has given us a way through this sacrament to lose those things so that you walk unhindered. Unhindered. I discovered something with my son yesterday, which is a good example of how confession works. We were playing around yesterday, and he sat on my foot, and he wrapped his arms around my legs, and I started walking with him around the house with 40 pounds of extra weight on my foot. Now, I didn't walk very fast. In fact, after a while, I said, get off of there, because you're gonna hurt my foot. We should have started that when you were 3, not 5. But nonetheless, this is one of the ways that confession, why it's important, because people walk around with the weight of many sins dragging them down, and they can't move around as freely as they want to, and they move around with some sense of sadness, some sense of pain, and so this beautiful sacrament, which many of you did during Lent, allows you to pry that extra weight off and for you to run unhindered. In fact, when Nicholas got off my foot, I said, wow, this is great. This is like the, for those who watch baseball, and you see the bat in the on-deck circle, they put the weight on the bat, and they swing it around, and then they take the weight off, and then the bat feels like it's weightless. It's kind of like the same thing, you know? I said, having walked around for 5 minutes with him on my foot, now I feel like, well, I can go run a marathon, or do a high jump or something, because I feel like my foot is now weightless. And that's how people feel when they finish the sacrament of confession. Their spirit, their soul is lightened, and they feel not only free of guilt, free of sin, but enlightened and empowered to go out with great joy and happiness to live the Christian life unhindered by the weight of sin. Last Sunday, in the early morning, I went home at 4 o'clock after a wonderful reception here, and I said, before I retire for bed, let me do one important thing. Anyone know what that was?
Pray.
What?
Pray.
Before I pray. What?
Brush your teeth.
I visited Facebook.
Oh no.
All important thing, and we all do, most of us do, many times a day. I visited Facebook, I said, whenever will I be on here at 4:15 in the morning? So I put on there, Christ is risen, Christos anesti. And immediately, Many responses. Apparently, there were lots of praise between people at 4:15 on Facebook, but it wasn't just me. But the funny thing is, all right, how long does it take you to write Amitos Adesi, truly is risen? Just a few seconds. But a few people are lazy to do that. So when I woke up Sunday morning, a few hours later, I went and, of course, consulted Facebook after brushing my teeth. Actually, I consulted Facebook while brushing my teeth because it's on my phone. And it said 40 responses, 75 likes. So 75 people liked my status. And I was trying to think, why didn't they just respond, truly he is risen? I mean, why hit like on that? Because they liked my status? They liked that Christ rose from the dead? They liked that I put that on there? I'm not sure. So, if I ever post on Facebook, I'm willing to divine liturgy this morning. Don't check like Father's status. Respond and say, I'll see you there. Because it doesn't do you any good to like the status that Jesus is risen unless you're participating in it. Again, it doesn't do you any good to like the status that Jesus rose from the dead unless you're participating in that joy. It doesn't do you any good to like my status that I'm going to church to divine liturgy. It doesn't do you any good to hit like if you're living in Wesley Chapel unless you're going to come over here and worship together. And as I said last Sunday at the Agape service, the resurrection of Christ, it demands a response. It demands more than I like that. Like Christ is risen. I like that. I like that. Let's go with that. It demands more than that. Truly he is risen. And because he is truly risen, that gives my life purpose. It gives my life meaning. It gives my life direction, even when life is crumbling. As we read in the Homily of St. John Chrysostom, Christ is risen and death is annihilated. Christ is risen and the whole creation rejoices. We didn't read Christ is risen and I like it. If I like it, it doesn't do anything. So we don't need to like the resurrection, we need to live the resurrection. We don't need to like this beautiful season that we're having in our church, we need to live in it. And Jesus, as I said before, at the resurrection, he empowered not just the apostles, but he empowered everyone who believes in him. Receive the Holy Spirit. Take this gift and go forth and do something with it. Allow this grace of the Holy Spirit to bring you all of its gifts. Enjoy love, enjoy and peace and patience and kindness. Enjoy all those things because these are all the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us that he is bestowing on us. And one final thing, today is the feast of St. Thomas. St. Thomas is known affectionately, I guess, as a doubting Thomas. We know that on the day that the Lord rose from the dead, the disciples were behind closed doors, and Thomas was not with them for some reason. And Jesus appeared to them, and they were all happy because they saw the Lord. And they went and they told Thomas about the wonderful thing that they had seen, Jesus risen from the dead. And Thomas says, unless I see the print of the nails, unless I put my finger in his nails, in the print of the nails, unless I place my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. And of course, 8 days later, which will be today, Jesus appears to all the disciples. Thomas is with them. And Jesus says to Thomas, don't be faithless, but believe. See my hand, see my side, it is me, risen from the dead. And of course, Thomas, having seen the Lord, gets on his knees and confesses, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says to him, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. I guess that doubt is a part of life. Most of us, we make big decisions like what I'm going to do for a career, what I'm going to do as far as owning a home. Am I going to have children? What part of the country am I going to live in? We make lots of decisions, big and small, and many times we have doubts about those decisions. And what do we do when we have doubts about our decisions? We pray that God will take those doubts away, and we get around people who are going to make us feel good about the decision that we've made. Let's say you're having doubts about having had a teenager. Like, was this a great thing 13, 14 years ago that I decided to have a child, because now the child is turning its rearing its ugly head and firing back on me? Well, get around a parent who has a student in college, or a parent who has a child that just got married, and they'll tell you, don't doubt, they'll change, they'll come around, it's just a stage. In a few years, I guess I'll find that out. I'll come and see some of the older people, and you will strengthen my doubts. But this is what we do when we doubt things. We go around people who have already accomplished that, who've already gone through that, and they strengthen us. That's one of the reasons why we come to church. If I ask everyone honestly, who's got 100% bulletproof faith today? I'm not going to ask that. But if I said, put up your hand if you have 100% bulletproof faith today, probably not every hand would go up. If I said, how many people are a little shaky in the faith today because of something that happened in your life or something that's happening in the world? Probably a lot of hands would go up and say, you know, I'm kind of shaky. All right, now let's say that the ratio was 50-50. 50-50, 50% have 100% bulletproof faith, and 50% are having some degree of doubt. Well, what would be the solution there? Pair up each of the groups, one with 100% faith, one with the person having doubt, get them together, and have the person with strong faith talk to the person whose faith is struggling at that moment, to strengthen them. And that's one of the reasons why we have a church, so we can strengthen each other in our faith, especially in our moments of doubt. We should not be faithless, but we should believe, because the faith is something that is strong, that is bulletproof, if you want to say that. It's been handed down for 2,000 years. People have lived for this faith. People have died for this faith. God has given us so many promises, and we see that those promises come true. In the Old Testament, if you took all the events of Christ's passion that you read in the New Testament, and you researched the Old Testament, hundreds of years before they happen, you will read in the scriptures everything that happened in Christ's life and ministry and passion and resurrection. Everything was foretold in the Old Testament. Everything. And one by one, they all came true. And in the New Testament, we have a whole new set of prophecies. I'm with you always. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. I will take care of you. I'm preparing a place for you. And in our life, especially after our life is over, we will see that all those things come true. Because when God makes a promise to us, He does not take it back. So if you're struggling in your faith, that's okay. Doubting is part of life. We all doubt lots of things, but we don't give up on them. We may doubt our line of work, we may doubt our spouse, we may doubt our children, we may doubt lots of things, but we stay with it, and eventually our doubts are put aside, and our faith in our things are restored. And it's the same thing with our faith in God. So keep coming, keep worshiping, keep talking, keep praying, keep reading, keep learning, so that your faith can be strengthened too. And we can be turned from people like Thomas in his moment of doubt to Thomas the Apostle, whose memory we are remembering, whose icon is on the wall of our church and in every church. A doubter can turn into a saint. Just look at the example of St. Thomas. May God bless you and keep you. I hope that we put some time aside today. I know I have to come and enjoy the fellowship in our community. We have a wonderful community. I'm so blessed to be part of it. And thank you for sharing the beautiful liturgy this morning. And for those who shared the Holy Week journey, thank you for sharing a memorable journey in the Passion and Resurrection of Christ. May we do it again next year in health and joy. Amen.